Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, in our last episode, we reviewed the peak performances from games 5 through 8, the second quarter of 2016. So in this episode, we'll provide our more comprehensive review of those four ball games. A tough stretch for the Packers. They entered the second quarter of 2016 with a 3-1 record, but it started with a big home game against the Dallas Cowboys coming to Lambeau Field. And I guess if there's one thing that I remember about the buildup and the hype to this game more than anything else, it was the Packers with the number one rushing defense in the league at the time against the Cowboys with the number one rushing offense and Ezekiel Elliott, the star rookie, as the number one running back in the league. And flat out, the Packers took one on the chin here as far as that goes.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was getting a feeling at that point in the season of how tough Ezekiel Elliott was and how talented he is. And I think, honestly, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, as they say, but this is the biggest impact I think we've seen from a rookie running back, I say probably since Adrian Peterson, right? I mean, in terms of...
I would agree with that.
How this guy across the board can hurt you, it's not just between the tackles, it's not just outside, it's not just as a receiver. He's complete, and the Packers found that out. And I remember talking and hearing a lot of guys talk about before the playoff game against Dallas about what went wrong in that first game. It was 28 carries for 157 yards for Elliott in that game. What was impressive, though, in both of the performance against him, Elliott really didn't have a huge carry against the Packers' defense. I think the second game against Green Bay, his longest might have been like 24 yards or something.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult to get him down after 2 or 3 yards. He always extends things for 5, 6, and 7. And really, that was the key in this game for the Cowboys' offense, and it was a key for the Dallas the entire season.
Yeah, the Cowboys had a lead, and the Packers were doing, I guess I would say, an okay job on Elliott through the first three quarters. But we really saw what Dallas's MO was and how the Cowboys got to a 13-3 record in the regular season. It was to have a lead, go into the fourth quarter, and then just pound the ball with Elliott, knowing that they've already worn your defense down with him
right
over three quarters. And then he just becomes that much harder to stop in the fourth quarter. I believe he had 60-plus of those 157 yards in the fourth quarter of that game. And really, the Packers just got worn out, and with the Cowboys having a two-score lead really for the bulk of the second half, the Packers just were never able to flip the game back in their favor.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, though. I mean, obviously, one, Brett Favre came back. He had the halftime ceremony. He got his name put up in the Ring of Honor. Dak Prescott throws his first NFL interception. Morgan Burnett pulled that one down. So there were a lot of different things happening. There was a lot of stuff. I remember being down on the field the last 2 minutes of regulation before with the ceremony with Favre and before he talked during halftime, and that was the one where Dallas was able to get that long series for a touchdown, which sort of was a backbreaker. The Packers tried to come back. I mean, Ty Montgomery had a couple catches on the ensuing drive but wasn't able to get any points. It was just a big game in terms of the adversity that the Packers faced and also dealing with some losses. I think Davante Adams also exited that game as well. It was a tough one.
Yeah, and it was a game of missed opportunities, really, for Green Bay. You mentioned the Burnett interception, which was the first interception that Prescott had thrown in his rookie year. The Packers get the ball basically in the red zone,
yeah,
a chance to cut into what I believe was a 14-point Cowboy lead at the time. But get inside the 5-yard line and then call a quarterback draw, and Aaron Rodgers gets the ball stripped from him. The Cowboys recover. So that scoring opportunity goes by the wayside, and if I'm remembering it right. But then I also recall the next time the Packers were down there, they ended up having to settle for a field goal. They couldn't
right
punch it in. So a couple opportunities there to get the game to 20-14 from 20-6, and they come out of those two opportunities with only the game at 20-9, still a 2-score game, and the Cowboys just stayed in control.
Yeah, I think it really, for one thing, it told everybody that Dallas is for real, that Prescott can do this, that Elliott is going to be a difference maker, and everybody knew what their offensive line was doing there. But it also sent the benchmark. I think when the Packers came back and they looked at that game going into the playoffs, they realized what they were going to have to combat. Not that they didn't going into that first game, but I mean, you got to keep in mind it had only been 1 month in the season. We've seen quarterbacks flash and then fall back.
Sure.
Prescott was consistent, and he played within the offense and allowed things to develop around Elliott. If I also remember correctly, Dez Bryant didn't play in this game, right?
That's right, he did not.
But a lot of different guys stepped up. Cole Beasley, I mean, they've had a lot of different guys contributing. It showed that Dallas can really put together a solid run and I think turn them into a legitimate contender after that win over Green Bay.
Yeah, everybody knew the rest of the season what they were in for when they had to face the Dallas Cowboys. So with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we continue our overview of games 5 through 8, the second quarter of the 2016 regular season, we're at game 6. The Chicago Bears come into Lambeau Field on a Thursday night. The Packers on a short week coming off the loss to the Cowboys, sitting at 3-2. And I guess this is one of those where you'd say it wasn't pretty, but it was a game the Packers had to have. They got the victory to get themselves to 4-2 with the little mini bye week with the weekend off coming up right after.
Yeah, I mean, the outcome was great. It obviously was important. I want to talk about the color rush jerseys. I mean, this was the first time you saw the Packers, I think, wearing white uniforms. Was it since 1989 at Lambeau Field?
At Lambeau Field, yeah, that's correct.
And we'll get to all the football stuff in a second. I love the color rush jerseys. I think there's probably mixed reviews on it. People, the traditionalists, you want the Packers to always, you know, look at the green and gold and typical. I thought it was a great take on it. And I think it seemed like it was a really photographic uniform, too. When you look at all the photos that our team photographer, Evan Siegel, got out of the game, a little bit of a different turn on that rivalry with the Bears. So there's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of big performances in that contest. But the color rush jerseys, Mike, are going to be something that I really did enjoy.
Yeah, you had the Packers going with the white pants, which is not a color of pants they normally wear, with the white jersey similar to the road jersey. And then the Bears going all navy,
right?
Navy pants, navy jersey, which is a look the Bears had used against Green Bay off and on over the years. But I agree with you with the Packers being in all white and with the game being at night under the lights, you know, that contrast of the darkness of the Bears and the all white of the Packers. I thought, you know, for all of the complaints about Thursday Night Football and some of the visual monstrosities that have been created with that, I thought the look at Lambeau with those two teams and those particular sets of uniforms was pretty good.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, this wasn't even just the monstrosity of our people just being, you know, offended by the colors. Some people literally couldn't see the colors at times because of people who were colorblind.
The red-green stuff from a couple years ago.
Yeah, so it was good, I think, and it was just a neat little chapter. The Packers ended up turning the tables on the Bears this year when you look at the all-time series with this win and then the one they got in December. Just out of all those games, what is it now, 190-some games?
Yeah.
Never won quite like this. It's always cool to write a new chapter in things like that.
For sure. With regards to the football stuff, we saw the Packers offense a little shaky early on and some anxious moments there when Aaron Rodgers gets sacked by the goal line. He fumbles the ball. The Bears fall on it for a touchdown. And Chicago, playing with a third-string quarterback with Brian Hoyer, the backup, sustaining an injury on a sack. Chicago suddenly leading the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, but the Packers found their stride. Ty Montgomery, Devontae Adams, and Randall Cobb all get double digits in receptions by the time this one is over, with Aaron Rodgers really working the short passing game to perfection there to get the offense rolling, and the Packers put together enough points to pull this one out.
Well, and the Packers were going to have to lean on their passing game in this game. They knew earlier in the week, Eddie Lacy, he goes down for the season with the ankle injury. They're going to have to do something different. That different, the change, was Ty Montgomery. And I think when you go back to this game, the fact that Rodgers threw the ball 56 times, ended up with 102 passer rating. When you usually throw the ball 56 times, that means you're playing from behind. That means you're usually trying to, you know, catch up. That wasn't the case. I mean, yeah, there were some instances where the Packers had to bounce back, but they never were really trailing by a huge deficit.
Right.
It just, everything was in Aaron Rodgers' hands at that point. 19 touches for Ty Montgomery, 16 touches for Randall Cobb, 13 catches for Devontae Adams in that one, which was one shy of the franchise single-game record set by Don Hutson when Grandpa Spofford was probably running around town in 1942. Incredible what they were able to accomplish. And then also give credit to the defense. Blake Martinez got his first career interception. Nick Perry also walked away with one. they did what they needed to do to get past a very capable opponent, and it ended up being a kind of a little bit of a reprieve during what was going to be a pretty tough stretch for the Packers.
Yeah, was that the Martinez interception where he thought he was down and then he hopped up and started to run? That was kind of a bizarre scene. I don't know if I've heard a press box full of reporters laugh so heartily at what we were witnessing there. But Blake was a good sport about it when he was asked about it afterwards.
He was. I mean, it was a remarkable play if you go back and remember it, because the whole situation was he didn't really know who touched him, if it was his guy, if it was the opposing guy.
Right.
So he jumps back up, and then there's, like, as he described it afterwards, there's like eight guys from the Bears who are all running towards him. I think he ended up maybe getting, what was it, like 4 yards out of the return. Fortunately for him, he didn't fumble the ball. But hey, if you're going to have your first career pick, at least it's going to be memorable, and that certainly was.
Yeah, why not in prime time at Lambeau Field? But yeah, a victory the Packers definitely needed. They get to 4-2, and we'll continue our review of the second quarter of the 2016 regular season back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Mike Spofford right here. Wes, we're continuing our overview of the second quarter of the 2016 regular season. We're up to Game 7, which is the Packers' trip to Atlanta on October 30th. The Packers are 4-2 heading into this game. I don't recall exactly what Atlanta's record was, but it was similar to Green Bay's, I believe. 5-2 maybe, because they hadn't had their bye week yet.
Yeah, it's not coming up.
I think they were 5-2 because they hadn't had their
bye. Sounds good to
me. Packers had their bye. But a game that I guess in a lot of ways went in a way that many people predicted, in that it was a shootout. I mean, it was two quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, both really kind of having their way with the defenses. And it came down to, you know, Matt Ryan had the long drive at the end to get the Falcons a touchdown with 31 seconds left, and the Packers, you know, suffered kind of a heartbreaker there, 33-32.
Yeah, this was a game, Mike. I mean, you look back to Matt Ryan in his first seven NFL seasons, he's always had these glimpses of greatness, is kind of what I call that. I remember using that phrase during Week 8 as well, where it really looks like this is the number 3 overall pick in the draft. It really looks like this is someone you build your franchise around. And not to say that he wasn't that at times, but he went through some really tough lulls. This offense went through some tough lulls after the 2012 trip to the NFC title game, after their loss in 2011 to the Packers in the playoffs. I think everybody anticipated that they were pretty close to making that jump. Now it ended up being a few more years for them. But this particular season, Matt Ryan put it all together. So I don't know if you credit Ryan for that. I don't know if you credit Kyle Shanahan, Dan Quinn. It goes along to a lot of people.
Right.
Because the quarterback that we saw this year reminded me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. And maybe not his mobility, maybe not in some of the things he does with his arm, but just in terms of how he managed the game and dictated tempo. They moved it, a no-huddle offense at times, were very effective with it. He had quick releases. He was really difficult to solve, and I thought this game at the Georgia Dome really showed that this guy's going to be legit. This isn't just a flash run. You know, he's going to be able to do this for the long haul.
Yeah, I would say the similarity that I saw with Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, as you say, with Ryan kind of growing into this potential MVP season, the word command is what comes to mind. He was in charge every snap that he was on the field. And as you said, that made this Falcons offense very difficult to solve. He's doing more at the line of scrimmage, checking to this play or that play, doing all the different things that they do with their running backs out of the backfield. And it was a tough order for Green Bay. Now, on the offensive side for the Packers, no Randall Cobb, no Ty Montgomery, no Jared Cook, yet Aaron Rodgers throws 4 touchdown passes. Jeff Janis, Trevor Davis, Geronimo Allison all get touchdowns seemingly out of nowhere, I guess you might say, surprise performances from them in a lot of respects. But the Packers went toe-to-toe with these guys, and unfortunately it didn't happen that way in the rematch in the NFC Championship. But the Packers gave them everything they could handle in this one.
Yeah, and I would really challenge anybody, go back, at least during the Mike McCarthy era, look at these inactives, Mike. Randall Cobb, Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, James Starks, Clay Matthews, and then, as you mentioned, Montgomery and Cook. That was an all-star team. The Packers actually had to end up bringing Geronimo Allison up for this game because they just needed 46 guys. I mean, every single one of those guys was dealing with an injury, and the way that they responded, I know it was a tough day for the defense, but offensively being able to make it work the way they did. Also, something that often gets forgotten about this game as well, Mike, is the fact that Jordy Nelson, 4 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown. There was a 58-yard pass intermixed with all that. This was a That's time right. in which a lot of people were questioning whether or not Jordy Nelson still had the downfield big play ability. I thought this was, and as we found out throughout the course of the year, he certainly did. Maybe he does things a little bit differently than he did 5 years ago, but he still has that capability. And I thought this game really started to illustrate where he was getting to after, you know, being able to work himself back into where he wanted to be.
Yeah, and that big play to Nelson was very early in the game, kind of sparked the Packers yeah. offense and gave them the sense that, okay, we're gonna give these guys everything we've got. You mentioned the injuries. No Clay Matthews, no Demaryius Randle, no Quentin Rollins. Your secondary, you know, and no Sam Shields from the injury from much earlier in the year. You're trying to match up with Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and these running backs for the Falcons out of the backfield. You know, Ladarius Gunter had, you know, was starting to move into that role where he always had to take the number one guy for the other team. It's something that benefited the Packers in the second half of the season when they got on their roll, but there were moments here where the secondary was taking its lumps before things kind of got turned around.
It's also important to remember, too, Dimitri Goodson ended up playing a lot of snaps in this game only
That's right.
weeks after being activated from suspension, a really difficult spot for a young guy to be put in.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. At home or in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final game of the second quarter of 2016 was a home game against the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't know about you, but with the Packers coming off that tough one-point loss in Atlanta, they're sitting at 4-3, an AFC South Indianapolis team coming into Lambeau Field. I really thought, okay, the Packers will take care of business here. They'll be at 5-3 at the midway point. And it didn't happen that way. The Colts start the game with a 99-yard yeah. kickoff return for a touchdown, and it seemed in a lot of ways the Packers just never found their footing after that.
No, I mean, and everyone, the Jordan Todman 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, what sometimes gets forgotten is then he ended up having a 61-yard
yeah.
Return later on as well. So when Mike McCarthy all season, going into the season, certainly after the season and the playoffs, talked about being able to win that field position battle. The Packers, for the most part, did a pretty good job of controlling the tempo in really a lot of different aspects of this game, but there were just too many mental errors along the way that kind of impeded them being able to win this game. And I think, as I said earlier this week, to me, that's what makes this probably the most frustrating loss of the season, is all the elements were there for the Packers to win it. They just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, we saw HaHa Clinton Dix get 2 interceptions of Andrew Luck in the first quarter. The offense was struggling, but then got rolling late in the game, got back within one score, but the Packers just weren't able to quite finish off the comeback. And what I remember the most from this game when I look at it in the context of the entire season was the post-game press conference by Aaron Rodgers after the game. He was asked about, you know, the energy on the sideline and just kind of what a lot of people termed a lackluster performance by the Packers. And he said, with regards to the 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to start the game, he said, we have to be mentally tougher than that. We can't let one play at the very beginning of the game have such a huge impact on the psyche and the mood and everything that's going on. We have to be mentally tougher than that. Now, it took a while. The Packers didn't turn things around right away, but this was a team that found that mental toughness later on in the season, and that mental toughness was a big part in overcoming a lot of stuff through late November and into December to get ultimately where they got.
Yeah, I would argue, Mike, that this actually probably was the biggest game in terms of really hammering that home, because actually that was probably one of the strongest attributes the Packers had late in the season, how they responded the game against Chicago, losing that 17-point lead and then coming back and winning the game, being able to respond the way they did against Detroit, against Dallas. That's going to come along with every season. If that adversity is going to happen, there's two teams playing for one victory. That type of stuff is embedded in the understanding of what you have to do. This game, the next game, which we'll be talking about soon enough against Tennessee, two big plays at the beginning of the contest that ultimately I think really tilted the field in the opponent's direction. It was a lot to learn from, but I think it's probably one of those games that, as much as you want to win it, it probably made the Packers better in the long run.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, lesson learned type of games you would have really liked to have seen, especially with that fourth quarter comeback, the Lambeau Field faithful being able to walk away from that with a victory, because you could really feel the energy in the stadium as the team was coming back. The defense needs that one more stop to give Aaron Rodgers the ball. Rodgers looked kind of unstoppable there down the stretch, and it just didn't happen. But one of these games that you know, the Packers took it on the chin, but yet at the same time, those were the moments that they remembered and they drew upon, in the sense that, hey, we're not going to let that happen again, when the season really was on the line later in the year.
Yeah, and there were some tough stretches there too with the Packers trying to get the offense going early in these games. And I think that kind of went around with that midseason streak. But once they did, they were tough to beat. And I think that's one of the things that they can definitely take away from that midseason streak is how it helped them in the long run.
Yeah, well, the Packers at 4-4 at the midway point, and we will continue our review of 2016 in future shows. But with that, a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.